Hey, it's Jordan, and I've got a podcast for you. Commons is Canada's most popular podcast about politics. Last season, they tried to answer the question, how corrupt is Canada? This time around, they're investigating our national addiction, oil. The current season featuring host Archie Mann is called Crude, and it's about Canada's relationship with the oil industry. The good, the bad, the ugly, and the weird. You'll find Commons wherever you get your podcasts, so go check it out. I am not an organ donor. I didn't know that. I thought I was. I support it. I think it's important that when I'm gone, I help whomever I can. But somewhere along the way, I either missed signing a form, or I said no, or I'll do it later because I was in a hurry or something. Anyway, I checked, and I'm not. And this combination of public support without a follow-through is not exactly unique in Canada, which is why what's being proposed right now, and may soon become law in Nova Scotia, is so important.
Nova Scotia is soon to become the first area in North America to adopt presumed consent for organ donation. Under the proposed law, almost everyone in Nova Scotia would be considered potential organ donors unless they opt out.
Presumed consent might not save the life of everyone on waiting lists in Canada right now, but it would get us closer. So why hasn't it happened? It's been proposed a few times, and kind of like me and maybe you and actually becoming a donor just never quite gets done. So what kind of obstacles still stand in the way of passing what would be the first bill of this kind in North America? Why do people resist, even though they might publicly support organ donation? How big an impact would this actually have? And does presumed consent even matter if you haven't had a critical conversation first? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Andre Picard is the health reporter for the Globe and Mail. He's covered organ donation in Canada extensively. Tell me what's happening with organ donation in Nova Scotia and how big a deal is this?
Well, Nova Scotia has proposed something called presumed consent. So they would presume that you want to donate your organs unless you say otherwise. That kind of flips on its head the current approach we have. It's a fairly big deal. It hasn't been done many places in the world. It certainly hasn't been done in Canada. It's been done only in a few European countries. So it's a big deal, I think, symbolically more than anything else.
What is the current organ donation rate in Canada? I'm assuming it's low, or Nova Scotia wouldn't be trying to flip this on its head.
It depends on who you ask, but it's about 18.2 donors per million. So that's it's actually fairly high when you compare globally, but it's quite low compared to, say, a country like Spain. We have about half the rate.
How great is the need? What are the wait lists like in Canada?
Well, that's what's driving this kind of approach is we have really a lot of tremendous waits for people, the real desperation. Currently, I look, there's about 4,600 people on the wait list across Canada for an organ. About half of those are for kidneys, and then the rest are, you know, heart, liver, lung. And a lot of people sadly die while they're on the wait list every year. And even though I say 4,600, it's a huge number, it really understates the number of people who need organs, because we simply just don't put them on the wait list until they're desperately in need, because there's no point.
How come it seems like so many of us, and I just did an informal survey around the office today because we were going to be talking to you, so many of us support organ donation, but when it comes to it, so I don't have my name on my health card as an organ donor, which is insane because I obviously support it, and I thought I did. And I did that to a few other people, and I found the rate was like 40% of people who thought they were organ donors were actually organ donors.
Well, the actual stats is polling shows that about 90% of Canadians agree. They think organ donation is a great thing. They should do it. And about 20% actually sign, so are actually registered organ donors. So there's a real disconnect between the idea and the act. And that's the gap we have to fill.
How does that happen?
I think it happens because, as you said, a lot of people think, oh, I must be an organ donor. I'm a good person. I think I signed that when I signed my driver's license. But we don't make it easy in Canada. So there's these steps. Depending on the province, it can be very easy or somewhat difficult. So some provinces you can go online and do it. Some you have to sign your health card. Some it's your driver's license. Some it's a separate form. So it's kind of a mishmash of rules around. And those who argue for presumed consent say it would be a lot easier to just presume everyone wants to do it, because that's what the polls do it, and then those who don't want to should have to make the effort to withdraw, to say, no, I don't consent.
Has there been a lot of opposition to what Nova Scotia is doing?
There's a lot of philosophical opposition. So people say, you know, this is a violation of rights. A lot of provinces have talked about this and then decided not to bring forward laws because there's a feeling it'll probably violate the Constitution. I don't think that's clear. You know, there's been rulings you can't have presumed consent for paying your cable bill. But I think when it comes to organ donation, it's a slightly different legal argument. So I think it would probably stand up, but I think it would be a tough thing to go ahead with. We'll see if Nova Scotia actually follows through. They have, in fact, promised this in the past and not done it. So we'll see.
What kind of obstacles are still in the way before this actually becomes a presumed consent province?
Well, you have to pass the law, and then the big one is there will undoubtedly be a court challenge. So that's the big one. Is this constitutional under Canada's law? So we don't know the answer to that.
What are the arguments that would be made in that kind of a situation when people oppose presumed consent or mandatory organ donation? What kind of arguments do they rely on?
Yeah, it's about the right to decide what to do with your body. So very similar arguments to assisted death. You should actively agree to something, to an act, even after, well, you're not quite dead yet. So you should actively agree. So there has to be consent, and we shouldn't presume things like that. We shouldn't presume people want an assisted death. We shouldn't presume they want to give away your organs. They should have to state it in a very concrete fashion. So it's a very straightforward legal argument. The question becomes then, where it gets blurry, is this in the greater public interest to assume this and then to force people to withdraw? So, you know, it won't be ever mandatory, even if this passes, because you will have the right to refuse. And even a country like, everybody points to Spain. Spain has had presumed consent since 1979. But even there, about 15% of people sign a registry and say they don't want to donate. So that you always have to have that outlet, or there's no hope of it being constitutional.
What does the healthcare community in general think about presumed consent? I am assuming they think it's a step in the right direction, but would they prefer mandatory?
I think, well, no one, it can't be mandatory. That's not going to happen.
Right.
There's always going to have to be the right to withdraw. I think the medical community, like everyone else, is divided on this legally. I think what people would like ideally is that we just have more voluntary donation. And more importantly, you know, I've always argued it doesn't really matter what the law is. It's all about systems. So in Canada, even people who sign their donor cards, their organs get wasted. We have, they call it in the medical field, the conversion rate. So the number of potential donors, and remember, there's very few. Very few of us are going to die in a way that we're brain dead and our organs can be harvested. So
right.
It's a very small number to start with. In Canada, it's about 3,000 people out of 400,000 people who die a year. So it's a very tiny percentage, less than 1%. But in Canada, only about a quarter of those people, actually a sixth of those people, actually their organs get donated. So that's where the problem lies. The problem is not in signing our cards. The problem is in converting the organs that are available and getting them into people. And that's an issue about how you ask the family. It's about, do you have surgeons on staff? Can you get the organ? You know, Canada's a big country. Can you get an organ to a person who needs it within a very few hours while it's still good for transplant? So there's a lot of technical issues that are, I think, much more important than whether we have presumed consent or not.
You mentioned convincing both people to sign their cards, I guess, initially, but also convincing family members. What are some of the myths or misinformation that people typically have when they think about this? What are some of the things that stops them from doing that?
Well, the big one, the big myth out there is, well, you know, you're just going to unplug my loved one because they've got these good organs and you want to use his heart even though he has a chance of getting better. So that's the big one. People think that we're going to kill someone to harvest their organs. And, you know, the rules are really clear and there's a lot of fail-safe methods in there to make sure someone is brain dead. We have rules in Canada now. They've been slightly made easier that you can actually use organs from people who are not brain dead, but who have, their heart is no longer functioning. You can still use other parts of their body, and that's important. But I think that's the big myth. Is I think we oversell medicine generally, and people think that, you know, someone who has had a traumatic brain injury is going to miraculously get better, and they're not. So that's, to me, that's the important thing in all this, is to have these discussions with your family. As with all these really emotional issues, it's not about the law, it's about people, families consenting. I think that's all important. Even if we have a law, and we know this from other countries, even if there's a law and it's presumed that you're going to give your organs, and you know, one of your family members is throwing themselves over the body saying, no, don't do it, don't do it, they're not going to drag you away and do it. You know, there's right. always going to be barriers. So it's important to have the family on side. So we should discuss this stuff. Hey, if I, Mom, I know you don't like that I have a motorcycle, but if I ever crash it, please give my organs, you know? And you remember we just had the anniversary of the Humboldt disaster, yes. the bus crash. And, you know, one of the players in that tragedy had that conversation with his family. It so happened. And he became, you know, this well-known Canadian hero for giving all his organs. And so many families had a discussion just because of that, that the donation rate in BC, for example, almost doubled overnight.
Really?
Because of that one gesture from this young man. So that's what it takes. It takes the public discussion. It's taking away that fear that people have. You know, people don't like to talk about death, and they think it's, you know, it's going to jinx them. I'm going to die if I talk about giving my organs. But I can assure you that's not the case. What it'll do is it make it easier on your family if you are in that condition.
Are there any campaigns going on, or is there anything that we've done in the past that's been proven to move the needle on this? Because it strikes me that we just... you know, as you mentioned, the disconnect is between the number of people who say they support it and the number of people who will actually go out and get it done.
Yeah, the one thing that moves the needle, we know this, is that is when their tragedies occur. So the Humboldt is a perfect example. You know, Ryan, he's become known by his first name. He made this gesture, and it moves people. So you have to make it personal for people. That's what moves the needle, no matter what bureaucracy sending you forms in the mail. So I think that's the key one, is to have these stories. So the media plays a big role. And the second part is just make it easy. You know, I talked before about there's too many hurdles to this. Make it easy. Have the discussions. Make this part of our everyday conversations. That's what will change things.
Since we began being able to do these transplants relatively successfully, what's the trend been like in terms of organ donation? Because I just wonder if, you know, over time you actually see more and more people opting in, or if we sort of have our baked-in attitudes and it hasn't really moved in general, obviously.
Yeah, so we've only been doing transplants, depending on the organ, but since about the 1960s, some of them not till the 80s. So this is relatively new medical technology. And the trend, the really important trend, is just demand. So no one ever dreamed we would be doing thousands of transplants a year, which we do. It's almost routine now to do things like kidney transplants. So there's just not the number of people, there's number of donors available. And the other side of the equation is, we've done tremendously on public safety. So car crashes, the number of people injured in car and motorcycle crashes down dramatically. So the input is much less, the need is much greater, and that's why you see these huge wait lists. So there's some good news hidden in this bad news. You know, we often talk about, I've mentioned Spain a couple of times, everyone's put, oh, if only we had the organ donation rate of Spain. Well, Spain has an appalling number of deaths on the highway. They have a lot more organs because a lot more people die needlessly. So that's not exactly the way we want to solve this problem. So increasingly what we're having is these technological discussions. So now we can, people are growing organs in pigs that can be transplanted into humans. And we're very close to that. There's parts of pigs that we transplant now, like heart valves, and it won't be long before we can grow livers and maybe even hearts in animals and not have to count on people dying.
So are we going to race past the need to get this rate up from around 20% then?
Hopefully, but it's not going to happen overnight. This is going to be decades. There's a lot of ethical issues there. There's even religious issues. If you don't believe in using, if you're kosher, or do you want a pig heart? There's complicated issues in there, as there,
right.
there is with all these technologies. So that's not going to happen overnight, but it is a longer-term hope.
You mentioned that this kind of varies province to province. Are there any other provinces that have come this far? And are there any other provinces that might sort of pick up on this soon?
Everybody talks about it. So before the last Saskatchewan election, Brad Wall had promised that he'd pass a law if he got reelected. He didn't. He left. So these discussions come and go, but no one's actually implemented it yet. Actually, Nova Scotia came the closest. They introduced a bill, but it died on the order paper during an election earlier.
As someone who's seen these come and go a few times, what do you think about Nova Scotia? Is this as close to happening as it's been so far? And do you think we actually get through this?
I think it's quite possible this legislation passes. I'm not convinced it'll make a difference. So I think that's the more important part. I think it's more important to have more more practical stuff on the ground, teaching nurses how to make the ask, the all-important ask to the family. And, you know, I've written many stories on this over the years. That's the key, is knowing how to approach the family in this time of great grief and tragedy, and to talk to them about, listen, you can make a difference. You've lost your son, but you can make a difference to 8 other people. You can save their lives, literally. Those discussions are really powerful, and they make the difference between donation and not donation. So just having the presumption that someone will give their organs is not going to make that any easier, and it's not going to change having the input from the family. They may not have a veto, but you still have to have them on side.
And when you say changing the law itself won't make much of a difference, that's because of the numbers game, and also because you still need the permission of the family, I presume.
Yeah, you need it technically, not theoretically, but I think practically you're still going to need it. And it's the issues on the front line. It's how many organ donations are done in Nova Scotia in a year? Only a couple of hundred. It's a very small number. Maybe this will boost the availability of a couple of organs, but are they going to have the technical ability to get them into people? That's where we have to invest. When you change a law, there's a lot of follow-up to do, and that's really what we haven't heard about yet. Are the investments going to be there to back up this philosophy?
Do we do any training specifically about having that tough conversation that you mentioned?
Well, that's the difference between the hospitals that have really good conversion rates and those that don't. Those who have a dedicated, usually it's a nurse who does this, and they have very, very successful organ donation rates. So we do some training, and where we do, it's very successful. And for the most part, we don't, unfortunately.
And just finally for our listeners, because I was kind of interested to hear this as well, even if you have signed your card and you're down as a donor, you still need to have that conversation with your loved ones, because they'll still be ultimately the ones between you and those organs getting to someone who needs them?
Yeah, you have to have that conversation because, one, we have terrible electronic records in Canada, so nobody knows that you've signed your card. As I said before, if your loved one is throwing themselves on your body, they're not going to drag them out and cut out your organs. You know, it's practical stuff. It should be a willing, loving donation, regardless of what the law is.
Thanks for this, Andre.
Well, thank you.
Andre Picard, health reporter at The Globe and Mail. That was The Big Story. For more from us, we're at thebigstorypodcast.ca with all our other episodes. You can even search them. You can contact us. You can suggest a story idea. And you can find us on social media at TheBigStoryFPN or at Frequency Pods on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. And we are, as always, wherever you get your podcasts. We would love a rating and a review. Show us you love us or tell us you don't. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.